Hey guys, welcome back. Thank you to another gathering of momentum. Now today, we have an amazing health coach who's joining us, who's gonna basically get into some nitty gritty and health. And this guy has been doing some amazing posts on Facebook, which have been transpiring and inspiring lots of people across the internet. And the way Jason Christoph does it is through truth and through a balanced state of mind. This guy, he puts it out there in a way that's easy to understand and to assimilate. Now, there's a lot of information going around in the health domains and a lot of fear-based information. And Christoph really is a solutions-based guy. So a little bit about Jason Christoph is he started Physical Limits Fitness in 1994 at the age of 24. So he's written over 1,000 health articles with hundreds appearing in many newspapers across Canada. Jason has been interviewed recently by several US radio stations regarding his principles on healthy living. He was also invited to speak on health topics on CBS Morning Show and also appeared briefly on the Dr. Phil Show, so featuring fitness trainers from across North America. And he's currently writing a book tabulating steps that he used to lead a healthy and addiction-free life. Now this is going to be an amazing book for all ages. And basically, he specializes in exercise coaching, functional stretching, self-sabotage, healthy living principles, overcoming addiction, weight loss, healing while facing a health crisis, and also small business startup consulting. So this guy has kind of got his fingers in all the pies, and he's obviously been around the health industry for a long time. And what the go is, the longer you've been in the health industry, the more you go down different rabbit holes, and then you can compile all the information and kind of bring it back into a way where, let's be honest guys, the proof's always in the pudding. Now you look at someone's energy, you look at someone's way of life, you look at someone's posts and what they're talking about, and this is a very clear and concise way to work out where someone is not only on the health train, but also mentally, physically, and spiritually. And this health game is about basically all these topics combined into one. So thank you very much, Jason Christoph, for joining us on A Gathering of Momentum. And I'd love you guys just to have a warm welcome and say hello, Jason. And thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I like what you're doing down there with your, your positive push. It's what the world needs right now. I've had to modify my approach several times to be, more positive. You can attract more bees with honey. Yeah. Just to make sure the message gets out there, maybe goes a little deeper into the, the public psyche. It's a lot easier to deliver these messages. Sometimes there's some harsh truth in there, and sometimes it can rub people not the wrong way, but it can kind of irritate the lives they're living at the time. But it's very important the work you're doing, so thank you as well.
Great, man. Thank you very much. One thing I really like is that you're basically developing habits based in self-love and respect. Now that really resonates with me, like the self-love component is something that I'm seeing kids in high school and parents, that's the component that's lacking. People are lacking in self-love. They're looking externally for saviors through religions and things like this because the psychological battle too. Health is not just a physical battle, obviously. It's probably majority mental, really, because we can actually heal ourselves just through intention and through thought. Now, we need to move along from the old physical-based paradigm where everything is tangible. You can test for something, and then we can heal it through, a pharmaceutical drug. We're onto a multidimensional realm now, where people are using psychic healers, quantum healing, all types of healing machines and modalities, and frequency machines. So, this is something that we're just basically going along the steps all the way and heading into a realm where it's like, okay. So everything we've been told is pretty much incorrect or upside down in some way, shape, or form. From the food pyramid, we're told as a kid, 8 servings of pasta and, stay off the fat and, all this, low fat, that. Like, where do you begin? Like, this is such a rabbit hole. It's like, where do we start here?
Well, people have to sort of reconnect with their body. So this information can be overwhelming. So, but the brain itself can't process the information unless it's, I mean, the mind doesn't work if it's swimming in a sea of toxic soup. Mm. So a lot of people will get very confused, and it's hard. They've been like this a long time, and it's hard for them to understand that their brain or their cognitive ability isn't maybe working up to what, you know, the potential. So when you're taking on all these big issues and you're getting into these big debates and you're kind of lost, a lot of people today they're not happy, but they don't really know where to start. And they know something's not quite right, but they can't put their finger on it. So if they're looking for a place to start, it doesn't matter if someone's depressed or they're overweight, they're having financial issues, the relationships aren't the best, and they're having a hard time getting along in life, or there's a business that they want to be opening and they want to express their creativity. It's sort of like what you're doing. Like, where does it start? Well, it starts with controlling what you put in your mouth. Because if you can't control what you put in your mouth, what can you control? You can't control your own hand. And there's reasons too. A lot of people, I mean, the society that we live in is more like PTSD. It gives a lot of people this low-level traumatizing events, which of course leads people to make decisions based on pleasure, things that sedate their pain, like, you know, cigarettes and alcohol and sugary foods and wheat-based foods. And all those things are known painkillers. Sugar's a known painkiller. Nicotine's a known painkiller. Wheat's a known painkiller. And so the reason people are out kind of self-abusing themselves like it's an Olympic sport is because they're carrying a lot of this trauma, which is, it's being normalized in our society. But we really have to start understanding, if we want to look at all these problems and, you know, and solve them and have concrete solutions, we're going to have to bring our full mind with us to do so. We have to bring our full spirits. We have to bring our full intellectual capacity, our full cognition. And then as a community, we can look at these problems and then start putting down some concrete solutions that are really going to work. I was discussing this with someone today in my office. There's an ABC news report of a news reporter who takes one. She didn't have coffee probably for about 3 hours. 3 days. And then she had one very small cup of coffee. They did an MRI of her brain before her coffee and then an MRI after the coffee. And her blood flow to her brain, because of the caffeine and how the body reacts to it, was down 52%. So you have a coffee, you're cutting blood flow to your brain by 52%. How do you expect to... You basically have half a brain at that point. And because caffeine has a half-life of 24 hours, wow, it has this effect. And this person was drinking like, and of course you're not really a coffee bringer, right? A coffee drinker, Neil, unless you say, I drink one or two cups of coffee. And it's true. They drink one or two cups of coffee a day. Yeah. But they say it like it doesn't affect them. You're not really a coffee drinker unless you say like 800 cups of coffee doesn't affect me. I'm magic. That's when you're a real coffee drinker.
It's just like smoking a little bit of crack per day, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, if you have the oxygen flow to your brain drop by 52%, yeah, and you go out and you got to make like 100 big decisions in a day, you're going to have a hard time getting a grip or getting a firm foothold as you're climbing the mountain of life. And that's just caffeine. Wow. So what about alcohol, cigarettes, junk food in the morning, pasteurized orange juice, and all these things add up. So again, it's about when you go to the grocery store, you have to let the self-love guide your hand. But then again, it's all what you're used to and your kind of level of deserve. And there's a lot of psychology behind why people pick bad foods. and it's, they're not food issues. So if someone's out there looking to be healthy and start, like you're saying, start off by eating better, it's not a food issue. People pass the vegetable aisle because they see the vegetables as self-love, self-respect, self-care, self-maintenance. And it registers in the mind that they don't deserve that based on their childhood upbringing. So this is why people are going toward the Pepsi and the junk food. And it has a lot to do with their parents.
Exactly. Yeah. And sorry to cut you off there, guys, but we just had Shane Benatar come on, and Shane, meet Jason. Jason, meet Shane.
Shane, how are you,
man? Nice, I think you. I actually have you on Facebook. I'm not sure if I do or not, but I think I might. Do I?
I don't know. I've been losing followers. I was telling you all over. I'm getting trimmed somehow, but I don't look. I think I got about 40,000 people on. I have no idea who's really on there.
Excellent. So Shane, Jason's like an amazing health coach. Obviously, you've seen his post, and we're just going over the basics at the moment of like where do you start? Because his health scenario, this health paradigm of sovereign health and true health and all that starts, what Jason's just saying now, with your parents. You know, I grew up eating nami noodles, meat pies for lunch because I didn't like greens. This was, you know, cornflakes and cow's milk. And no wonder I was a little psychopath all through school doing the wrong thing and couldn't sleep. Like, I don't think I ate real food till I was probably 22 years old. So imagine how much impact that's created on my body over those 20 years when the body's still growing. It's like 28, they say. 28, it's actually still maturing. So as soon as you start putting alcohol in, drugs, coffee, non-organic coffee, you know, 52 types of pesticides, like where do you go from there?
It's funny you say that about the coffee there, because for like 8 months I went without, like, I don't drink coffee anymore, but occasionally I'll go on like a bit of a bender where for like a few weeks I'll drink coffee in the morning, right? And I just did one of those, and then I stopped again. And man, like, you literally get withdrawals. Like, you have withdrawal symptoms when you, even if you just drink it for a few weeks and then you stop. Like, I had a headache all day the day I stopped drinking coffee. So even organic coffee, it's a stimulant, eh? And in fact, I think it was maybe Neil or someone shared it, but there's a video on like how coffee affects the brain and how it takes actually 3 weeks for your brain activity to go back to normal.
It is.
A single cup of freaking coffee.
And that's what people aren't understanding. I didn't mention that. I mentioned that there's 24-hour half-life of the caffeine, but it excites the adrenal system, and you know, it's your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your fight or flight system. And that system controls like your prefrontal cortex. If you get, your body's very afraid of the coffee in the same way you're afraid of a lion. So you get this activation of your violent pathways. It reduces IQ. And of course, there's a lot of studies. I mean, you'll be very prone to violence and you won't sleep. Your body will always protect you when you're threatened. But it only has one pathway where it protects you. And it's just as afraid as a mugger as the coffee. So you're in this perpetual violent state because it's like the intruder is inside you.
Yeah.
I used to be in transport, guys, and I was driving B-doubles and road trains and everything in Australia for like years. And my diet was incredibly unhealthy. You know, wake up and smash a bacon egg roll and a coffee about this big. And you have, you know, an hour where you're like, and then seriously, like, spraying my face in the water with a water bottle hanging out the window. And like, if I knew about health back then, I probably would have survived the transport industry much better. But I was running completely on adrenals and I was running on coffee and all these things throughout the day to prop myself up. And once you start charging through the adrenals and those bad boys become lowered, you find that everything's out of whack. And a normal day for you is actually this up and down terrible roller coaster ride. And even now, like, I'm working through all my stuff, but I've still got things I'm dealing with, which I reckon I did from years of not sleeping properly, years of using stimulants like coffee and that. I never like took drugs when I was driving, like most truck drivers do. It sucks because at the age 33 I am now, it's like, man, I wish I knew this information when I was 17, whether I would have taken on board or not, probably wouldn't have. But to have kids growing up now who are non-vaccinated, who are on the healthy foods and who already understand this scenario, they're just like, yeah, of course I'm going to eat that. Imagine growing up at a young age, knowing the information, and all your mates are like, I'm not drinking milk because of such and such. I'm not eating milk because of such and such. Like, that's the type of generation that I think we need to procure and really, really focus on, because the people who are 60, 70 and 80, let's be honest, man, it's pretty much finished. You know, we can try, but they don't wake up. They've had 40 years of fluoridation. They've had 40 years of listening to the mainstream media, to the news, trusting the government, all these things. And you mean, you guys and all these people who are listening to these videos, you all know that it's back to front, it's upside down. But 40 years of programming, mental programming, that's very hard to break out of. That's a hard paradigm to snap out of and change your life and start eating different food when you're really comfortable being lazy. And that's, I think, how people get caught out in the health industry, is because they're so obsessed with mouth flavor. And Joe Rogan says this, he goes, the whole world's obsessed with mouth flavor. They'll kill themselves off willingly for a nice taste in the mouth for about 20 seconds, even though the effects they're doing is going to last a lifetime and also degenerate the DNA of themselves and their children. I mean, isn't that an interesting
scenario? Well, usually it's because they don't know, they don't have a clue, but it's interesting when someone passed, I guess like 40 really, when someone passed 40 years old, kind of snaps out of it and realizes like, damn, like I've literally lived my whole life ingesting stuff that, for example, I read the other day that Osho, freaking, you know, Osho, that Indian healer and whatnot, he wrote about how like the government right now is against drugs. I don't know when exactly this was written, but it was saying like it's against drugs, but soon there's going to be drugs in all the West's water, and it's going to be a certain drug that makes you not want to, like, it makes you obedient and it makes you not want to resist anything, and it makes you just chill. And no one's going to even know it's in their freaking water, and it's going to be doing this stuff. And that's obviously, he's talking about fluoride and also pharmaceuticals. Like, I know that we know they add fluoride, but I think they also probably add some pharmaceuticals that are not approved for consumption, and no one will really know, and it won't show up on a test strip, just like the same way that the piezoelectric nanocrystals that they spray on us, they can't detect those in a normal chemical analysis, yeah, like Harold Calzavella was saying, you know. But to clarify about, if you do eat that stuff for a long time, it's still 90 some odd percent reversible. Like, I'm not going to say, I mean, like, you prematurely age yourself a little bit, but it's a decent amount reversible, I would say, for those who are listening who are in their certain amount of years and they're thinking, oh, damn, I did some irreversible damage. You still got a lot of room left, don't you think?
Yeah, the body's always trying to heal itself. So all you really have to do is, and to grasp all these, you know, bigger issues, like you were saying about, you know, the obedience chemicals that are potentially going to be in the water supply. I mean, we know fluoride is one of them, but the average person might just think fluoride is to help prevent cavities. Of course, there's no literature that proves that. And that's what our society is sort of based on, right? It's sort of based on repeating what we're told, and that's the reason those seniors, you know, God rest their souls, they can't change, because they're just repeating, because they're getting stroked personally for doing the repeating. So they're not even really willing to think anymore, simply because they get rewards for not thinking. And, you know, and if people really want to go deeper into a lot of these issues, like the fluoride or why seniors take flu shots, even though all the literature says they're very fatalistic and they don't prevent the flu. If we want to even try to address the depths of what kind of knowledge we're going to need to process, we have to get healthy first so that our brains are capable of taking it in and processing it. So the guru I study under, Paul Check out of Vista, California, that's why his first introductory courses are always about us as practitioners getting very healthy ourselves, because we can't give what we don't have, number one. And then once our mind is healed a little bit, all these other things come into focus. So if anybody needs some clarity, just start eating a lot more vegetables and, you know, take away the things that hurt you and add the things that help you. And all these things won't seem as confusing anymore.
Isn't it that the different fruits and vegetables, and they're obviously non-GMO and mostly non-hybrid, it does something with your DNA, eh? Like it activates some certain type of, or it like turns on some dormant DNA strands that are just sitting there waiting for actual nutrients to get them fired up. And then that's when you'll like have inspiration and be like, oh wow, I just thought of something interesting. And that's like, you're literally the tuning into, you could say, the rest of the consciousness. That's the 100 monkey theory, right? How everyone, as they become more and more conscious, people who are completely unconscious get kind of seeded with something that they weren't even really thinking of, you know, as a unscientific way of explaining that.
Guaranteed, the DNA reacts to our environment. So if you look at the work by Dr. James Chestnut, Dr. Mark Hyman gives some examples via YouTube, but our DNA is like keys on a piano. They just sit there until they're played by the environment. So if you live in a hostile environment, you will get hostile, you know, down regulation of your genetic sequences, which means nothing good's going to happen to the, you know, through the DNA in your body. But if you have peaceful thoughts and good food, your DNA, you get a very beautiful music played on those keys. And you know, and then we're going to be really at peace with ourselves, and things will come into a lot clearer focus when the brain is, you know, swimming in the sea of nutrients as opposed to a sea of Doritos.
Seriously, very nice. Well, like that. Yeah. We did an interview with a guy called Nassim recently, and he sells Aura Minerals, and he was saying that minerals and nutrients are like the spark plugs to the connective processes, and that gets us connected to source energy. And it's interesting. I did a have you guys heard of that pen called it's called a Sita stick, and it's like a pen you put in your finger, and it tests all your minerals. It's new. It's just come out. I'm totally into all these weird devices, man. I'm a full like mad scientist, like always. Like got so many things in my butt I couldn't believe, but. You basically put it on the side of your thumb and you rub it, and then you touch on each side of the finger, and it tells you the top 20 minerals and nutrients and how deficient you are. So between a 1 to 10, it'll give you a rating. And it's actually a whole bunch of minerals that I was like in a 1 to 3, very, very low. And I just, because I hadn't been tested, and for about 6 months, I've been like, what am I doing that I'm feeling like something's, I'm feeling like intuitively like I'm depleted in something. And it was obviously magnesium, vitamin C, and a few things that, not because of any reason, but I just stopped taking them. I just forgot to take them. You know, my daily rituals kind of dropped off, and maybe I ran out of a bottle and then I forgot to reorder it and things like that. So it's probably been going on for 6 months. And I noticed my knees started cracking a little bit and my ankles started cracking. And I was like, okay. So intuitively I already knew before I even tested myself, but I needed the feedback to like, okay, you need to step up and start loading up on more minerals and nutrients. And like, that was for me, I felt like a little health crisis last week. So I'm like, okay, if you haven't got all your minerals, how are you going to be functioning at a really good level? How are you going to be sleeping well? How am I going to be making good decisions and be emotionally stable in relationships with people around me? So I kind of, you know, thought I was pretty healthy. And then I was like, okay, you're low on quite a few minerals in the body. What would you suggest, Jace, for you know, mineral deficiencies, apart from what you said, adding more greens? Do you feel like, I've had a little bit of a problem with a leaky gut since a kid, probably since vaccinations. I had a hernia when I was real young. I'm feeling like it's escaping out of my stomach. Even though I'm loading myself up, I feel like I need to maybe do the slippery elm bark and L-glutamine or something for 10 weeks to kind of really seal that gut off. Like, what would you feel in that scenario?
If you have those mineral deficiencies, you really want to try and find a local organic farmer.
Right.
Because, you know, the conventional organic farms are great because they, you know, they have to pass pesticide regulations. You can't use pesticides on a certified organic farm for 3 years. But they kind of monocrop, and some of their operations are really big. But if you find a local organic farmer, their vitamin and mineral content of their products tests off the chart. And there's some, Dr. Zach Bush is a very intelligent human being. And he did an interview with Dr. Joseph Mercola lately. And what he found is that the body itself does not want to be fat, and he's a man that has 3 doctorate degrees. Not that we're banging doctorate degrees, because of course they're just usually obedience certificates on their own. But if you see Dr. Zach Bush talk, you're going to know, number one, he's in for the long haul for the betterment of humanity. But he actually discovered, because he's a researcher as well, he discovered that the body does not want to be fat. It does not want to have cancer in it. It does not want to be diabetic. It does not want to be depressed. And there's things in the organic food called alkaloids, which are produced by bugs in the soil, which cannot be produced by non-organic. Yeah, because the pesticides, when sprayed on non-organic produce, kill the bugs. It's the alkaloids that will show the body the fat around the waist, the fat on the lower back. It'll find the cancer in the prostate. It'll find the cancer in the breast. And the body will eradicate it immediately. Using the alkaloid as a communication pathway to target and remedy the area. And he has concluded that the reason disease is running rampant in, say, a smoker today, because, say, my great-grandfather used to smoke like 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and he lived till he was like 95.
Yeah.
But he always ate organic whole food, which helped his body find the damage and eradicate it on demand. And people today Dr. Zach Bush said, the medicinal properties of our non-organic food supply are non-existent compared to what it, you know, natural food production. Unbelievable.
Now that kind of, for what Neil was saying.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of, well, I have a friend in lives in Manitoba, and he is in like a small little townhouse, but he has a backyard probably, I don't know, 20 feet long and maybe 15 feet wide. I don't really know the dimensions, but he's got a little plot of, well, there's a whole new thing called no-till farming, no-dig farming. Some call it do-nothing farming.
Right.
And it's better than... because even the organic, and now that, like, a local guy surely would not have one massive monoculture, because if he's a local farmer, he's got to have some variety. But for the most part, if you're getting or even organic stuff from the store, it's grown in a monoculture, which is kind of harmful for biodiversity, and also has way less nutrients in the soil, because these guys aren't basically, if you get like 4 different, you get layers of decomposing matter. So you get leaves and grass, and you'll shred up both of them, and you put a layer of leaves, and grass. And then you wait for a season over the winter or wherever you are, wait for a certain amount of months. And then when you come and peel back the top layers, you have underneath it like rich, earthy soil, and all these bugs are in there breaking it all down. And when you plant into that, it's like you're making your own soil, but the stuff that grows out of it has like 90% more nutrients. The bugs that come and pollinate the crops can tell that this nectar has like way more higher nutrient content in it. And you don't need to, you put a cover crop of, you'll have like a certain type of plant that covers most of the soil. Underneath that, you'll have like mulch. And so weeding is like you barely have to weed at all. There's way less. You don't have to go and it's not as time consuming as buying soil, getting a flatbed, delivering all the soil, layering it out. You know what I mean? And so I got that going in the field there, and I'm stoked to see how it turns out next spring for growing, so that, giving back to the environment and growing your own food, you know, without having to buy soil.
Well done.
There's something amazing about growing your own food and planting foods of love. And I always talk about these books to everyone, Ringing Cedars of Russia. And it's about a woman called Anastasia. And this is what she speaks about, creating your own food forest, your nature wall, and using all different plants that work in symbiosis together. Everything has got its place and everything works in harmony. And she says that you put the seed of your plant under your tongue, and you have your rows of crops which you plant. So you have your rows, and then you have one tree which you pull away from all the rest, so it's separate from the other trees. You put the seed from that tree underneath, or that plant underneath your tongue, for 15 minutes. You encode the seed with your DNA, and then when you plant that seed, you don't water it for 2 days. And what it does when you water it, okay, it basically grows. And it communicates with all the other plants in the garden, and it's your healing tree. It brings in the nutrients and minerals needed to heal your body. So that actual tree is your healing tree. And if you test that tree, it has a totally different mineral composition to all the other ones because it's for healing you. Because plants communicate, they communicate of us. When you go into the garden, little microbes come out of the soil and they go into your feet and they make you feel good. And it's like the dirts in the plant saying, come play with us, come garden, come work with us, come talk to us, because they want to be around humans. They want to be around us. So these books have transfigured and transformed my entire life because it's about community, gardens, growing, homesteads, life. It's everything you can imagine in life is in these 10 books. And it basically says over and over again that mass agriculture doesn't work. Pesticides don't work. We're degenerating the soil season by season by season and locking ourselves into a seed buying and pesticide buying program, which farmers can't get out of. And that's what's happening in India. India have realized that since Monsanto came in with their pesticides and insecticides, fungicides, suicide seeds and all of that, that their actual yields are less. Now people are getting cancer when they never had cancer before. And also the farmers can't keep up with buying the pesticides. So they're actually committing suicide. There's massive amounts of suicide happening in India where these farmers just physically can't keep up. So they've gone back into biodynamic farming practices, which I reckon no-till farming and biodynamic would have some sort of symbiosis going on. And the biodynamic farming in two seasons is regenerating the soil back to the most lush pesticide-free soil on the face of the planet, like full of humus and all the right microbes and things in there. And this is old technology. This is stuff we've had forever.
Yeah.
Naturopathy, just like all the natural healing things, which is called alternate. It's like that was what's around for 10,000 years. We've only had this rubbish agro farming for 140, if that, you know what I mean? Well, not even, probably like maybe 50 years we've really started spraying pesticides since the war when we had a lot of leftover Agent Orange and things like that. They didn't know what to do with it. So what they did, they go, we'll just spray it on the crops and we'll use it as pesticides so we can continue making money. Same as margarine, right? Margarine was meant to fatten up turkeys. The turkeys wouldn't eat it because it's not food. So then they put sugar, salt, oil into it and they feed to humans. And like, oh, great. We can still get profit to our shareholders. What a messed up scenario we're living in at the moment, hey? Well,
the crazy thing was that the video I watched about this guy who had a pesticide farm, GMO farm, he started doing the no-till and certain, what are they called? Arthropods, certain of these bugs, actually when they chew on stuff and then they crap it out, they break down petrochemicals, agrochemicals, even like GMOs. Like I had a big pile of of compost and I thought like there could be some like from years ago like GMO stuff in there and processed food and stuff. And I was talking to my buddy and he said, no man, don't even worry about it. Like most of these bugs break down and neutralize, like even heavy metals and stuff. So when people have this disempowered mindset, they're like, I don't buy organic because it gets sprayed by chemtrails anyway. I'm like, dude, what you're going to be growing in your garden, everything's getting sprayed. So you might as well just man up, grow your own food, and then you have way less. Like if you're doing the no-till, at least you're going to have a lot of the heavy metals broken down by the the arthropods and everything anyway. And it's really breathing in the stuff that affects us more than eating in the aluminum and whatnot that's in the sprays and stuff. But it's all detoxable, so no fear, that's for sure.
I've seen some research lately as well where, you know, they're developing bacteria that can even break down radioactive waste. There's bacteria that can break down oil that floats on top of the water during an oil spill. And of course, when we were talking about the DNA earlier, that Dr. Zach Bush interview always sticks with me because he said 30% of your DNA activation inside your body is controlled by bacteria. And you have to make sure the bacteria get these alkaloids so that they can communicate effectively with each other. It's almost like the bacteria themselves invented and grew us the same way we built cars and said, look, we need to get from A to B. It is almost like the bacteria got together and said, let's build humans and we're going to walk around the earth. They're the ones controlling us and we have to make sure to feed them properly, like you were saying, like a biosphere. Like we're our own walking biosphere. We really have to take better control of our health. And then everything else will become much easier. When you're healthy, you have a healthy mind, healthy spirit, you're going to open your heart a little bit more to, you know, it's very easy to have a closed heart today, because if you look at any kind of newscast, and I get a lot of news posts from Australia, you know, and and of course I watch a lot from the US too. Canada is really no different, but everything's fear-based. Close down, you know, close down the electrical conduction to our heart, which of course interferes with the brain activity, interferes with all our spinal activity, the electrical highway, you know, that our spines are. And, you know, we just have to make sure to get back and start eating some real food.
People don't realize what they watch literally affects their freaking electromagnetic heart frequency, like, and it affects their brain, and it affects the mass conscious of millions of people. Like, the way you broke that down was just a little, you know, intense how it literally does. It's not just when you're sitting there and you're like, oh, how horrible. You don't understand. You're affecting, like when you're watching the news, for example, you are affecting, you're not eating something, but you're feeding, like you could, some people say, be careful what you're, you know, feeding your soul, what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're listening to and whatnot, you know? So yeah, that's definitely well said.
And that's what we were talking about earlier, like the obedience and the PTSD. I mean, these sort of fear-based media, which is exploding all over the world. I mean, has anybody seen the Santa Clara Diet with Drew Barrymore? Maybe look that up. It's something on Fox. She's a cannibal. She eats her neighbors, and it's a comedy, actually. So this kind of thing, it's equal to something like Stockholm syndrome or battered woman syndrome, where fear-based trauma impacts on the psyche lead people to be more obedient and more sort of looking for the father figure to save them. So this is why we're sort of drowning in this negative media, because the psychology is very, very clear that a mind in fear only has a tenth the IQ of one that's at peace with itself.
Because you're acting out of emotion versus logic, right? Because that's what they try to get most for vaccines, for example, the push vaccines in fear that you'll get this horrible disease if you don't inject yourself with this. And you don't think of, let's logically think first, what are the ingredients? What are the risks? Have you done safety studies and whatnot? Instead, it's, oh my God, let me get this quick. Acting out of emotion, being fearful that you will get sick if you don't get it, right?
Yeah, the fear-based emotional impulses drives all electrical activity to the brain stem known as the reptilian brain, and all it is cares about is like short-term survival, sex, and food. So when you purposely place a human in fear, you're driving them to their most base emotional and base intellectual points, where they're going to react as children. It's known to drive the adult ego deep into the child psyche. So you'll be making decisions from the child ego, which of course is never logical. It's always emotional. That's why children eat candy, because it gets them high. It has that pleasure principle to it. A real adult is never led by pleasure. They're led by logic.
Wow. So they're down to a complete science. Like, they've studied for thousands of years how the human freaking brain works. Like, I'm talking about our manipulators here. Like, they fucking know how our shit works. And they know that if they get us in a bit of state of fear of terrorists, fear of all these horrible things, then it's just so much easier to control millions and millions and billions of people. But look at the types of conversations. Like, when someone tries to say, oh my God, so many people are asleep, I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, a whole bunch are. We know that. But like, how many people are having this conversation right now? More than ever in the last how many hundreds of thousands of years. The amount of millions of people right now who are literally having a conscious conversation has not happened in the last 200,000 since humans freaking creation, literally. Maybe Atlantean, Lemurian times we had these conversations, but maybe not even. Like, I don't think we were manipulated back then as hardcore as now with all this fluoride and all this, you know, GMOs and stuff.
I think they've pushed the pain so far, because when you step on a nail, if it's really painful, you'll eventually change your behavior and step off. I think what they've done is applied so much fear, pain, and trauma that people have actually started to change to avoid it and started thinking more logically about it. So the application of pain always ends with personal growth.
Yes.
And I find people don't actually wake up unless they are pushed into a corner. Like, people will wake up people who are ready to wake up will wake up regardless. But other people, unless their life gets threatened, they have a health crisis or something major is going on around them, they're happy to do the Stockholm syndrome, head in the sand, and just go, oh, I've just got to focus on my family and work. And, you know, I'm busy. I can't really deal with this. But then it's like, sweet, you're about to have a heart attack. What are you going to do now? Because I've had a bunch of mates who have gone through health crises as recently, and they weren't awake at all. And now they're like, they've bought water filtration systems off me. They're into healthy food. They're asking questions about just things.
That's like just the beginning, medicine. Man.
Yeah, it's the tip of the iceberg. And I was out surfing yesterday at Cronulla, out of Cronulla Point. This guy paddled out. I looked at him. I was like, hey. It's like, hey. Straight away, my little indigo siren goes off, or whatever you want to call it. Next thing you know, he's having a mind explosion out there because he was just on the tip of waking up, but he didn't have the information. I just planted a few seeds, and he's like, dude, I'm going to paddle out in the surf and have this conversation today. And now he's like thinking about doing hemp products and hemp board shorts and things like that. Like, and it's like all he needed was that little bit of information and a little bit of love. And the way I spoke to him was in a place of love. It wasn't like, this is going on, you're going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, hey, maybe you should just research and check out these two links. You know, it's pretty interesting. It'll power you and your life will probably get better because you'll have more purpose here. So can we guys go to, like, I want to really tap on, because we've talked about the psychology and what they're trying to do. I think what we really need to do is have a conversation regarding vaccinations and that the psychology behind vaccination, why there's actually no common sense when it comes to vaccines. People like to talk about common sense, but yet there's absolutely no common sense to do with vaccinations. And there's so much fear involved, trauma, the media, the news, doctors. You walk into the doctors if you go there, and there's posters everywhere, polio, measles, all these scenarios. Like, I think we should really really tap on that because people are ready for this now. 3, 4, 5 years ago, I was posting about vaccines and like I'd have 200, you know, likes and shares on a post normally, then it'd be like 5, you know, but then I have 10 inboxes going, hey, I believe what you're saying, but I'm too scared to post it. Now people are just smashing it. People are, there you go. Get your flu shot.
Yeah. That was at the grocery store. It doesn't say check what the ingredients of the flu shot are. It just says, get it. Go and get it. It's easy and fast. So I want to actually voice record and ask the lady at the pharmacy, hey, can I see the ingredient list and look it over and say, you know, this is aborted fetal cells and GMO proteins from eggs, and there's formaldehyde and thimerosal mercury in this. You think that's going to strengthen my immune system or weaken it? So yeah, very good. Yeah, we should be talking about vaccines for sure, because it's affecting a lot of people, you know?
Yeah. The person who's the most firm in their position does know that there's no books in their house on vaccination. They've never read a vaccine insert. And of course, that person is very sure that they have all the right information, and you know, vaccines don't cause autism. Vaccines are safe and effective. So what we have to look at is, how did a person, you know, a human being of maybe 40 or 50 years old, how did they become so sure of something they know nothing about? Because that's going to expose what's wrong with the system. What's wrong with the system is obvious. People are stroked, emotional rewards, jobs, promotions, and they're given sort of like a more carefree walk through the tyrannical pyramid when they comply without resistance or question. So, and what we're asked to do, and the pattern people might want to be aware of, is we're always asked to use our children as currency at this very weird and sinister toll booth for us to move through our society unmolested, to not go against the herd or get some kind of pushback from the consensus trends, that we merely have to sacrifice our children, whether it's circumcision, vaccination. Just put your child up on the sacrificial altar, whether it's religious or medical or scientific, and voila, you just keep to go down the road. You get to kick the can, travel another 10 miles down the road to the next toll booth, which is like the 6 month or the 1 year vaccination. So are people...
Vaccinations.
Yeah, vaccinations. In Canada, they require 24 vaccinations in the first year of life alone. People have to start looking at the idea that, you know, you can't do this to children. And why are the children always the target of these agendas where we're being asked to sacrifice or mutilate or poison our children on demand from the state or some other kind of invisible entity. We have to look at the wider issue, which is why are all of our social constructs somehow always focused on tearing down the children, either spiritually, physically, or mentally? And of course, the answer to that is how our society keeps on going down the road, is because when you damage and poison and traumatize a child, you get a poisoned, traumatized, and dysfunctional adult who is unaware
of their poisoning. And right.
So that's why throughout history, the ruling 1% have always loved having access to children, because it's like a tabula rasa. It's a completely clear slate. Okay, you can clear the mind of whatever was imprinted at it, say by the creator, and you can put in whatever belief system you want. So this is why the children are the target. It's not vaccines in particular. People have to start looking at what we're doing to our children, and how are we convinced that injecting documented toxins, they're admitted to being at documented toxins on the vaccine inserts.
Why the side effects of it is SIDS. Some of the side effects of these vaccines says right on it, on the fucking thing, that side effect autism, side effect SIDS.
Right. And the thing is, the parent isn't interested in that vaccine insert. They don't find it for a reason, because they're not making the decision to vaccinate based on the science or the information.
There's a fear, complete fear.
They're vaccinating because they get stroked by a corrupt society for complying and literally throwing their child on the sacrificial pyre. That's what they have to start understanding, is that the reason they don't have a book about vaccinations, the reasons they don't look for the vaccine insert, and the reason they don't care about the research, is because they're vaccinating because of the benefit to them personally has nothing to do with the kids whatsoever. And if people can wrap around their head around that, they can start awakening, because of course most people vaccinating today will, you know, readily have to admit to themselves there's not one book in their house on vaccines. They've never
Googled shit. They've literally just heard, like, on TV, like, is there not commercials like vaccinate, it's flu season, baby, vaccinate up. And
worry about their benefits too.
Yeah, exactly. And in Australia, not only is there the no jab, no pay thing, but there's the, if you, and I think in America too, if you don't get vaccinated, if you don't get your flu shot, and listen to this fucking logic here for a second. If you don't get your flu shot as a nurse, you have to wear a mask. You have to walk around with a mask on as a nurse, right? So my vaccine doesn't work unless you have yours. That's exactly what the logic is. You have to wear this mask because you could get me sick. I'm vaccinated and you're not. Think of that. That's literally some zombie shit right there, to think that that's accurate. If mine doesn't work, unless you have yours. Who thought of that?
And they say, like, get your dirty baby away from mine. It's like, hang on, yours is the one that's got, like, monkey liver and, like, all types of adjuvants and chemicals in it. My baby's actually pretty natural. So what do you mean? This is a weird misconception and the weird upside-down mind frame which has been projected on people. But I find when you get someone, you sit them down, you talk to them, that their eyes glaze over a bit, but they're taking some of it in. And all my friends around me, they're all not vaccinating. You know what I mean? All the people who are my close in groups, there's been a lot of kids born, and these kids are next level. They are so smart. They are so intelligent. The way they track you and things they do. Other friends who have got kids that are vaccinated, like, straight up, these kids are, like, not as evolved. They're just
slower. Like,
they're missing something. That's right. They're missing this thing, and whatever they're injecting is attacking them on a spiritual level. This
100%. It's spiritual warfare, man. It's not just a toxic thing. It's fucking spiritual warfare. There's some shit in there that we'll never know what it is. The ingredients that we'll not know. Yes. They will not tell us. It's undetectable. You cannot analyze. That is something else. Probably, I don't know. I don't know what it could be.
We're talking like off-world technology here, which is
like exotic technology. 100%. Yeah. I don't doubt it.
Yeah. And people aren't, you know, investigating, like I said, because potentially, you know, they have a job in the government and they want to be seen as a real, you know, take it for the team sort of person. So they just, but again, if you're vaccinating your kid because you're a nurse but you've never read a vaccine insert. You have to come to the cold realization that you're vaccinating to win favor inside the tyrannical pyramid, maybe a promotion. That's not what children are for. Children are not there as our personal currency to pay the journeyman across Hades River. That's not what children are for. And this is what people are using their kids for. It's basically to win favor with a very corrupt society. I vaccinated my kids. Can I have my job now? Can I have my promotion now? Can I go down to the coffee shop and have a coffee without getting accosted by the other people in the consensus trends? People are just lubricating their own walk through life and throwing their children on the fire because, of course, there is not one bit of research ever done that shows that vaccinated kids are healthier or more.
No, they've never done that study. They've never done it.
But then we're in circles again because the people vaccinating are vaccinating to benefit themselves. So they really don't care what the research is. So morality also has to come back again, using their child as some kind of sinister currency in this exchange of child energy for societal stroking or a more lubricated walk through the tyrannical pyramid. And, you know, this isn't what children are for, even though they've been used in this fashion for thousands of years. And, of course, the disrespect for children that is so prevalent in our society today, if you trace it back, it goes back to one place in the Middle East 4,000 to 5,000 years ago, like in Jericho. You know, there's one particular group that has seemed to dominate, and it's easy to dominate good-hearted people. The evil people work at being evil around the clock, and the other people are just cooking their food and tending their families. That's how these kind of traditions and kind of odd, sinister, dark occult traditions have infiltrated our society, because they work around the clock when we're simply just trying to live our lives. They've really taken a foothold, and one of their primary tenets is the attack and traumatization of the children, either physically, mentally, or spiritually. Circumcision used to be one of their favorite modalities.
Trauma-based mind control.
Yeah, trauma-based mind control. I mean, to send that sort of shock wave through the penis, up through the spine, and into the brain.
With no anesthesia, no pain.
With no anesthetic. In ancient Egypt, of course, circumcision, the circumcised penis, was known as the mark of the slave. And the reason it's known as the mark of the slave is, again, PTSD, traumatization, inhibits higher brain function and drives the energy into the brain stem, where the child-based mentality will always live. And if that dominates your psychic energy, of course, it's easy to manipulate children, not adults, not so much.
Yeah, wow. I didn't realize about the they do it in Egypt. I knew they did it. The people I don't think even realize that Dr. Blaylock, you know, when he went to court in Supreme Court, was proven to be not guilty and all his findings were to be correct. No one ever talks about that. Like, otherwise he would have been disbanded as a doctor and he would have been thrown out and discredited, but instead that didn't happen. You know, he went there and he was proven that what his information he brought to them was actually
Andrew correct. Wakefield, you said?
Oh yeah, actor Andrew Wakefield, sorry.
And, I thought what you were saying was about him, but I didn't know if you said his name. Sorry. That's the number one, like, stigmatized. Like, so many people I've seen posts like, vaccines don't cause autism, and I've seen that so many times, and I'm like yeah, it does. Like, how else it ought to? Vaccines and glyphosate have both been linked to autism. Autism is a side effect on vaccine inserts. We already know this. We're kind of beating around the bush, but it's only people who've never researched, like, really the truth or anything really about vaccines that isn't on mainstream media, who are like, oh, like, he's talking about the vaccination type things, like, I'm not into that, you know, and they don't understand, like, but as we speak, there's a lot more people having these conversations, like when Neil was saying, I think almost 80% of people, maybe a bit less, are just a few conversations away from actually, like, changing their diets and like, you know, cutting out the fluoride and planting a garden / just getting their mind open a little bit more and turning the TV off, you know. I think that's a huge one, is the TV, for sure, because not a lot of people know that you just think you're just relaxed and watching TV. It's like, no, that TV, the patent in it for nervous system manipulation, it does something to your brain so that what you're watching, like, your eyes are like these crazy things where when you're watching this stuff through the TV, through this electromagnetic thing they got going on, it like tricks your brain into creating the reality basically of what you're watching. So when you're watching some horror movie or apocalyptic, all these apocalyptic movies, they're actually trying to get the subconscious mind to create that reality on a mass scale. You know what I mean? And apparently that's the only reason they're able to get 9/11. What happened on 9/11 was because for 20 years before that, there's so many movies and TV shows and stuff with subliminal messages in it that you have no idea what you're absorbing. And then you actually helped to create the reality that 9/11, those towers fell. You know what I mean?
There's a great lecture on YouTube by this brilliant psychology professor out of California called Jerry Croft. Now, he shows that humans mimic as their primary mode of learned behavior. So during the run of the Cosby Show, I don't know if anybody remembers the Cosby Show with Claire and Mr. Huxtable. It was Bill Cosby. Mr. Huxtable was a medical doctor, and his wife Claire was a lawyer, both African American. And African American enrollment in medical and law schools during the run of the Cosby Show went up about 22%. So they call that the Cosby effect. And then after that, there was just too much positive momentum for our social engineers to handle. So, you know, unfortunately, the African American community got drowned in a lot of other negative media at that point. But even the movie Gone in 60 Seconds with Nicolas Cage and Angelina Jolie, it was about car theft. And in Burnaby, BC, Canada, my country, on the showing of the movie in Burnaby, BC, car theft went up 60%. So the reason they know humans mimic as their primary mode of behavior. And that's why every movie and every kind of leader that we have now is, you know, violent and immoral and unethical. And of course, we mimic that behavior. So the saying in Hollywood is what's on the screen goes on the street. And this is how they can reach out through the screen and, you know, kind of hijack our brains to mimic what we're seeing. So again, if we go back to the Santa Clara Diet, a comedy, of course, framed as a comedy. Drew Barrymore is a serial killer cannibal who can't stop eating and killing her neighbors. And of course, there is no end to this immorality and depravity out of Hollywood because, of course, they're tied to this ancient cult out of the Middle East who are very well aware that, and that's why this cult was always into public sacrifice or circumcision, is because even if you have a public sacrifice, the killing of the person traumatizes everybody watching. So you get PTSD throughout the crowd. And of course, we're watching Drew Barrymore eat someone on TV. And this is a very tame version. Who watches this? But what happens is that people are being traumatized, and again, it lowers their IQ, drives their thought and all their energetic brain activity down to the reptilian stem of the brain, which again makes it childlike. And that's what a lot of these trauma-based events are for. Just to add to what you said about the media and, you know, violence and immorality.
Well, it's interesting, spot on with that. And something that I only found out in about the last 3 months about African Americans, okay, that term African Americans, about apparently only 20% of the black people in North America were brought over on slave ships. And this is off topic from what we were going on vaccines, media and stuff, but it's very important because the reason why black people are considered, like, they call themselves African American stuff, because what it was is 80% of the black people were actually natives already living in America as black, dreaded, the Gula people, look up the Gula tribe and all this. And same with in South America, they call themselves like Latinos and all this. But what it is the reason why they don't, like, they put them, they don't want them to know that they're actually natives to the Americas, then they don't get any land rights. And so they call them African Americans, but they're actually only 20% were brought over in slave ships. They did not have enough boats to bring all that many people over. And that was one of the biggest, it's like their history is stolen and hidden. It's like, they don't even know, like, they think that they were brought over on a slave ship. No, dude, you're actually a native to here, and you should have this land, and you should have, like, you know, think of in at least in Canada, I don't know if it's in the States, but if you're native blood, you don't have to pay any taxes, like any taxes. And that's pretty big thing. Imagine if all the black people walking around knew, like, dude, you're from North America. The natives we think are like kind of the lighter skin, and they're native as well, but there's a different type that have been decategorized, so that I'm just kind of butchering it, regurgitating it. But that's what I found out in the last little while, is that they say African Americans ain't African. There's a Facebook group. Not to take away pride for Africa and everything, because yeah, probably a long time ago they came from there and whatnot. But I'm talking like they did not get brought over in ships. They were already here.
And there's actually there's a war on for native people. There's a war on against native culture, against the medicine men and women. When the white people came through, and when I say white people, we always go, the white people did this. It's actually the white controllers which were controlling the white people. The white people, the black people, the yellow. We've all been controlled. We all got told to do stupid shit, and we went and did it because we thought that was right. So the puppet masters have been in control the whole time. But what the process is they come in to these areas, they come into these countries, and they straight away, they kill off the medicine men and women. They get rid of them because they're the ones who are connecting the tribes to source, to nature, passing on the knowledge. They get rid of the elders. The first thing they do is kill off the medicine men and women and get rid of all their native practices. And obviously they bring in missionaries. They program them with this Jesus belief, and then they bring in the pharmaceutical drugs or the alcohol to get these people addicted on alcohol and food. And that basically stifles the consciousness of the whole clan, because these people have been doing beautiful practices, connected with Mother Earth, connected with nature, connected to the stars for a long time. Then this energy comes in and starts festering. And the next thing you know, you have, like in Australia, I was up at Cape York just recently, at the top of Australia, there's all these, they're not Aboriginals, they're actually originals. That's what we call them, because Aboriginal, Ab is abstract for non-original. So it's more spellcasting in Australian language, right? The English language is all about spell casting. It's all about common law, maritime law, constitutional law, you know, commerce law. It's all these laws and universal law, which is L-O-R-E, not L-A-W. So everything is basically being created for us to be disempowered. The words we use, like the words mortgage, it stems from mortuary, which means debt till you die.
Yeah.
Everything's got hidden encoded messages in it.
And good morning, which does not mean good. Saying good morning is not, morning is not a good thing. It should be great risings, you say, but
exactly.
These Aboriginals or these originals.
So these originals up there, they've had their land taken from them. They've been given houses, which they don't give a shit about. They want to live in the bush. They want to live in perpetual balance of nature, but we're too busy mining the shit out of all the areas up there, and they're lost. They had this glazed over look in their eyes. They've got a Coca-Cola in their hand. They're eating packets of chips because there's no good food at the top. And this has been done by design. Any government who had conscious people in there, we can stamp out these problems so quickly. We can get a mass stream study done of 250,000 non-vaccinated children and 250,000 vaccinated children.
In 2 seconds and see the difference.
Over. It's game over. The whole house of cards comes crashing down. Once again, no one uses common sense. And then we think to ourselves, why aren't these politicians looking after us? They're there to look for help us and blah, blah, blah. And all these guys are is they're gatekeepers. They're gatekeepers to grease the wheels of the system, to let it turn, but as slow as possible, as slow as humanly possible, let this system turn. Oh, we're going to give you lithium batteries now in nice, shiny Tesla packs. And lithium batteries are 50-year-old outdated technology, which the military and the army has been using for a long, long time. And now they're like,
okay. Lithium is less sustainable than coal. Lithium is less sustainable than coal.
Exactly, so. Right. And now guess what? There's a massive vein of lithium in Syria. Oh, okay, seeing we've got a $1 trillion vein of lithium in Syria, now we'll create this new green energy revolution where we're going to give batteries. And guess what?
Elon Musk there. Yeah.
Exactly. The initial cars that came out before combustion engines were electric engines running on batteries. The very first cars that came out on Earth were electric.
Military shit, right?
Oh, no. These are the normal cars, but we just don't know about it. Normal cars drive around the streets were electric. And then the oil companies thought, well, this is sucks. Yeah. This is not good for us. So we need to do something about this. And they used oil. Then Henry Ford brought out a car, which was made by hemp. It was running on hemp, had hemp panels, hemp perspex, all the rest of it. And guess what? 2 years later, hemp was banned and illegal, not because of medicinal properties, but because it would have smashed the building industries, the oil
smashed
industry.
Smashed timber, every industry, dude, would be destroyed.
Everything. So this agenda is a big, giant agenda, like you were saying earlier, Jason, where there's all these people sitting around a round table. They've got economists, they have strategists, they have military and actuaries and all these people sitting around all the time, because this is what they do. They froth over ruining it for everyone else. So we're out here, living.
It's not because they're inherently evil, though, is it, Neil? Isn't there a bit of a higher, maybe, force or something that manipulating these guys?
Exactly. So, these guys are basically, they have a plan for the original people. They have a plan for the financial system. They have a plan for what they're going to do with the oil when the oil is basically shown to be, we don't need it anymore. They've got all these plans and step-by-step scenarios where they're ticking off box one after the other. And the issue is, and what we don't do as human beings, everyone's posting on Facebook. That's good. Post on Facebook, get the word out there. But taking physical action each day, doing 1%, do 1% each day and take inroads to create the outcome we need in a year's time, in 2 years' time, and 5 years' time. These guys have a 50-year and 100-year plan, right? And they're ticking the boxes. We're waking up fast that we need to regroup. We need to come together and throw the egos in the bin, throw the religious indoctrination and cultural indoctrination in the bin, because everything we've been told, everything we've been taught is a lie. It's fraud. There's no factual basics except history, which is his story, which is their story, because they created
it. Victor writes a story, yeah.
And we're talking about Jesuits here. We're not talking about Illuminati. We're not talking about Zionists. We're talking about the Jesuits who run it from the top down. That's the
Which they're not at the top of this food chain too, you know? I mean, as Harold Kausvella mentions and whatnot, and I mean, it's going to sound pretty far out depending on where your level is at of what you've researched and whatnot, but all these ancient civilizations documenting these, their so-called gods were not actually gods. They were higher technologically advanced non-terrestrials, aka they did not live on Earth. They're not from Earth, but they came and genetically engineered, apparently, blacks and whites into existence for as a little bit of a slave race. And we're talking about the Anunnaki here, and they've been doing this for 200,000 years, about 180,000, I think. And they're the ones who manipulate through the black magicians and whatnot. And then you have what Harold Kausvella was saying about how part of what they're spraying in the atmosphere is the black goo. Which, Jason, have you heard of this black goo before? Are you familiar in black goo?
I haven't heard of the black goo, but I'd like to add that these people that we talk about. I mean, of course. When you mention them, you might lose some of the people, but they're a very small group, whoever they are, and we all kind of know who they are if you get near the top of the research chain. But the reason that they're so powerful is because if you narrow down and boil down the sap to get to the syrup of how this system operates, it's the school system, period. Because this is how you produce and comb. It works like the 33 degrees of Freemasonry. The schools are set up, and it's meant to comb the entire human resource population for the best repeaters. Wow. So it's like any sort of promotional pyramid, where what we think are high marks are more grading tools to see who will repeat without resistance or question. So these are the people, whether they're genetically inclined to be immoral, but you kind of condition the morality of them out, where they're just simply feeding like rabid dogs off the positive strokes that the celebrations, the gold stars, the Smurf stamps, the A pluses and the 10 out of 10s give them. So it all starts with gutting the kids when they're young, taking their parents away, circumcising them, traumatizing them, so they disconnect. And then they're going to come up to this huge Leviathan of power, where they're going to get sold back what was stolen from them. And it's meant to also bisect all the kids. You get the kids that are given Fs will carry that traumatically for their life. They're going to be conditioned to be the workers at the Walmart warehouse. And then of course the people that repeat without question. I mean, right up to the top of the pyramid, you're getting your medical doctorates.
Yeah.
Because in order for someone to apply poison and then carry or hijack the phrase of healthcare into not notice that you're poisoning every single patient, that's the fine tip. So it takes there's not a lot of humans that are that stunned.
they have to be, isn't it, every extra year of university is like a whole nother level of complete indoctrination where you literally are just...
Right, and that's why there's like 33 degrees of Freemasonry as well, because every level of Freemasonry, there's a point where they're like, okay, we want you to go out, we want you to like... I mean, if you look at the recent interview from an international banker, Bergman, or I forget his name, but he was asked to kill children and sacrifice. It's pretty high on the top of the pyramid. But everything that we're doing in our school system replicates the initiation rituals of the 33 degrees of Freemasonry. And every step we go up, we just get... we're getting ruled by all these repeaters who are pretty well soulless, and the most
contracted their soul. Exactly.
Yeah. The most psychopathic rise to the top, the shit's rising to the top. And these are who we're ruled by. We're going to have to do something about the system whereby kids will repeat that aliens discovered America, let alone Christopher Columbus, which is also not true. But we got to get away from the idea that repeating is intelligence and thinking that we're sending our kids to gain. We're sending our kids into education system where they're sorted for their psychopathic tendencies. And of course, if they're completely willing to repeat whatever they're told, they're going to be promoted up to the pyramid to give us the old Orwellian boot in the face. We're doing this to ourselves.
And isn't that what they do in these schools in China and whatnot? They get these kids to, like, they cultivate their abilities, like these special schools, where it's not like special needs kids, but special, like, can, like, see colors with their eyes closed and do all this crazy stuff with, can levitate objects with their minds and whatnot. Those are the first that get taken by these intelligence agencies and whatnot to do all types of, this week I posted two posts on Instagram that got taken down. This is the first time in 3 years that any posts of mine on Instagram have been taken down. And I don't think I told you about this, Neil, yet, have I? So I posted, and I'm not going to fully repeat, but I'll just generalize what one of the posts was about. Was about a diary of a certain figure in World War II that was supposedly, and this is admitted by the foundation of that person, that the diary was co-authored by that person's father. Okay. And then the other post, and then that got removed in 12 hours. The next post I made was about how Hitler took army or a platoon of guys after using, he had a team of psychic women who had like 10-foot long hair, and they're called Vrillin women or something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And he used this team of psychic women to remote view and get like intel from intelligence agencies, off-world sources and whatnot. And that's how they actually, the Nazis made that flying saucer that we all know about, the Nazi bell, the thing that floats. And it's a, okay. So I posted about how he then used these five psychic women to locate Atlantean and Lemurian artifacts in Tibet. Okay. Hitler had this fascination with freaking Tibet. And so he took a whole team of guys to the mountains in Tibet, and they found supposedly an underground city with a whole bunch of monks in it. And hidden in the mountains of Tibet. Point is, that post, I'm thinking, okay, it's a safe post. I don't say anything about Zionists. Didn't say anything about, you know, any particular religion. It wasn't offensive, nothing. And that post got freaking deleted about Hitler's five psychic women team who found these artifacts and stuff. And so this post and the other post about that girl's diary got taken down. How bizarre. How bizarre.
That tells you you're on the money. Because any sort of information that connects us off-world, it smashes religion apart. Any information that shows that we're multidimensional, we have all this extra DNA. There's the super psychics coming through in China. There's the Indigo revolution coming through in the Western world. So you have these indigos who are basically the system busters, are the ones who came through questioning everything, going against the systems, going, I don't believe that. They're the rule breakers, you know? So on each side of the world, there's this balancing act. You have the super psychics.
Didn't you tell me about that? The super psychics and the freaking the indigos, and they're on the either sides of the world?
Exactly.
No, but you didn't tell me that. Actually, someone else did, but you know about that too. So tell me more about it. I was wondering. Yeah.
And so what's happening is also, this links in with the vaccine scenario, right? These kids are coming in. Okay, back in the day, in, say, our parents' generation, you might have some people who have a little bit of they're the visionary, or they've got the psychic hand touch. They usually have one of the abilities. You could be a medium, you can connect with things off world, you can see auric fields, you can see this kind of energies. So most people, like far and few in between, came in with one. These new kids that are coming in now with the extra DNA and the upgrades, they're coming in with the full spectrum. They can see, they can feel, they can hear, they can connect. They're connected to their hearts, and they're on another level. Now, these kids that are coming through, they're the ones that the vaccines are specifically targeting. When you're saying, Jason, yeah, they're grooming through the school, what they do, they groom through the school, and the people who are the outside-the-box thinkers, straight away, get them on ADD drugs. Get them on Ritalin as quick as you can and shut them down, because then you've got a 9 times high chance of being a drug addict after you've been using Ritalin, right? So it's basically catching...
And it alters your chemical, right? Jason, what are the effects of taking a Ritalin, ADHD, all these medications for upwards of 5-10 years and whatnot, and birth control too, probably?
You're permanently traumatized. So you're always going to have that low IQ. So the whole thing is to make, it's like John Taylor Gatto, the most famous teacher in the world. It's all of, he discussed this agenda. It's all about trying to keep the adults in a permanent childhood. And you also notice that about even in the weight loss industry. I mean, when people have a hard time losing weight, they're, you know, eating foods that kids eat. They like pop, they like chips, they like ice cream, they like McDonald's. And of course, they're not good with money. Kids aren't good with money. And they, you know, they're very flimsy with their moral direction. They're very flimsy with, you know, what their life direction is. These are all attributes of the child ego that have been extended into adulthood simply because the trauma keeps the IQ. There's no ascension in fear. You can't build or do any mind expansion when the body's in fear, because it's always afraid of getting attacked, or where's the lion? Is the lion gone yet? And the lion's never gone. And our brain is always in this fight or flight mode, which really benefits. And like you said before, it really benefits the people who have been ruling over us for a long time. They're well aware of this. They're not stumbling across it right now. This is the hard science. This is a by design. And the thing about trauma victims is that your nervous system can come back on when the trauma subsides. And that's why they're going after the neurological complex with the antidepressants and the vaccinations. They're trying to kick their game up a notch. Your brain and nervous system can come back on after trauma. So if you watch 9/11 or something scary as a kid, eventually your nervous system will come back on. You'll have your full intellectual capabilities inside of you. But if they can damage the neurological pathways with aluminum and mercury and all the other toxins and vaccines, or they can damage the neural net with the antidepressants, they're being shown to cause massive brain damage, you eliminate the chance that that slave ever connects the dots. It's absolutely impossible. So that's their next, that's their game plan right now, is to move to that transhumanism, kill what...
Harry said it.
Yeah, kill what makes a human, which its ability to interact with its environment, kill all neurological processing capability in the human, and then eventually either hook them up to computers directly or make them some kind of cyborg.
Which that's interesting you mentioned that, because about 2 years ago, I watched a video by Deborah Tavares, who hopefully will interview one day, Neil. That'd be a beauty.
Well, she got back to us and she's ready to roll, so...
So she made a video. She's this California property owner, and she stumbles upon these crazy new laws that are coming out that are going to infringe on her rights, basically. And she ended up researching one thing or another and comes across, and then I find out about Harold Calzella as well. But there's basically something called smart dust. That's, have you heard of smart? It's nano-sized. So everyone's fear-mongered right now. All these medias are pushing out that everyone's going to get injected with a little grain of rice-sized microchip in their hand, and that's going to be your chip. And everyone's like, over my damn dead body, fucking mark of the beast, you know? And everyone's like, you know, hell no. But the fact is that the real RFID chips, and this is where it gets a little, you know, sci-fi, the real RFID chips are smaller than dust particulates. They're trico-sized, not nano-sized, trico-sized, trillionth of a nanometer. And it's part of it. They're self-assimilating nanobots, and it's what they're spraying. Part of what they're spraying is smart dust. And you breathe it in, it binds, it bores into your lungs tissue, and it binds with your DNA. You can detox it. It's not irreversible, but 99% of the population is affected by it, or is infected by it. And that's also where you get into Morgellons and whatnot. But if you remember, if anyone's ever watched Walking Dead, what's the theme of Walking Dead? Everyone has it, but when you die, you turn. Okay, in Walking Dead, when you die, you become a zombie. Everyone has this, everyone's infected by it. And my buddy was just talking to me the other day, and he's like, dude, like, doesn't that kind of seem like Earth? Like, everyone's infected right now. We do all have these nanobots and all these crazy contaminants and whatnot, these robotic chips that are trying to microchip and bind like an interface between computers and the biological human mind and whatnot. So just when you're touching on the transhuman agenda, that's the very, you know, essence of it, is trying to get the human genome or whatever connected to these freaking bio smart, smart meter computer, all this bullshit, you know?
And I think nature can outsmart that.
Yes.
100%. If anybody wants to, again, if they could find a local organic garden, regardless of what comes at them, they can definitely detox and fight this any way you can. But of course, some things, you know, if this is true, and it might come out as true, and everybody might know it eventually, but what about the things, it should focus on the things that we can avoid.
Yes.
Hurting the genetic sequence, like, you know, just eating better, maybe, you know, I have a hardwired computer here, a hardwired nice. Phone. I don't have, everything here is hardwired, you know, the Wi-Fi. I have a list of 50, I think it was one of the last posts I posted on Facebook. It's a 53 unhealthy things in your house with the healthy solutions in brackets nice. Right next to it. So if anybody wants to know where to start or where kind of the hidden dangers are in their own house or in their own lifestyle that they might not be aware of, they can go to my Facebook post, Facebook Jason Christoph. It's Christ with an OFF on the end. And they can find that post. I won't post anything tonight, so it'll be the second one down. This is where, like, most people want to start.
Solution. And
then you want to get to the solutions because it's a debt-based system. They want us in physical debt. They want us in spiritual debt. They want us in monetary debt. So to fight the system, you simply get out of debt. Yeah. You up your nutrition. You become adult-based. You adult up. You save your money. You don't feed the beast. You direct where your energy money is going, and you only energize systems that produce positive results. You never spend your money.
Well said, man.
Yeah, you never spend your money. And I have lots of money because I'm an adult. I don't, like, if I get a $10,000 or $30,000 in my pocket, I don't put it in a cannon and fire it at the next Mercedes that I want. That's not, and, you know, and we really should do a show maybe on adult-based living. Yeah. So people can actually reconnect. No one really knows how to live like an adult anymore. It's all a bunch of, I call them children with pubic hair. they're running around. Sure, their license says they're adults, but there is no way, God's green earth, that these people, they're down at the pub, they're smoking weed outside back of the restaurant, they're 50 years old, their kids are at home being babysat by, you know, like,
yeah.
People have to get back. Our answers are not in the future. Our answers are in the past, and we really got to get there fast, or who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, they have the emotional maturity of like a six-year-old. You can actually do a test, and it's all muscle testing and all that to test someone's emotional maturity. But I just wanted to finish off on where we're going before the smart dust, because the vaccines are actually connected with the smart dust. The GMOs, the vaccines, the fluoride, the Wi-Fi, it's all connected in one big tentacle. Now, what we have to do, and this is a call out to people out there, I've got a mate who's going into high schools now. He's talking to kids in year 11 and 12. And basically, he's talking about labels. He's talking about how he used to be in a street fighting gang. What happens, the impact of his friends and family around him. And these kids after, because I went to a school with him and we're talking, these kids after are like, dude, I'm so inspired because I have no mentors. What we're lacking in this world is mentors and people who are inspirational, people who are actually adults who can talk real knowledge to the kids and like inspire them in a way that's like, hey, I did this when I was young and this is what happened to me. Not just follow the rules and do that, because curiosity killed the cat. You're going to go do it anyway, unless you have someone that you look up to. We really need guys and women to step up and start working with youth, going into schools, talking to these kids, and also teaching the parents how they should be feeding the children. So this, for me, is, I feel, the biggest thing we can focus on is this younger generation. Talk, connect with them, talk to younger brothers and sisters, and like give us some really positive information that's going to inspire them. Because we have too many Justin Biebers out there. We have too many Kim Kardashians. Wherever I drive in Sydney, I just see women in like Range Rovers, like looking at like with these lips sticking out, these massive lips sticking out, and these giant sunglasses in these Range Rovers. And it's like, so is that all you aspire to be in the world? Is that time when you're rocking up to the cafe with your child and you got all your clothes on, you're looking all amazing? That's like the pinnacle moment for people when they think of having kids, picking them up from soccer, picking them up from school. Like that's the actual pinnacle moment. Rocking up to the car park in your $180,000 Range Rover. It's like this level of programming has come from the television. It's come from people like Ice Cube and Eminem and the rap, the false FBI, sorry, the false CIA rap programs, which is the PSYOP. A PSYOPs to disempower the feminine, to disempower
get more people doing drugs and stuff.
Have these dudes walk around with pants hanging down their asses going, yeah man, I'm gonna smoke this fool, and talking like absolute spastics. Like this has to be stripped apart, it has to be decompartmentalized, and it has to be put back together in a way where people are like, hey dude, can you step up? Can you stop acting like a fool? And this is the stuff we can do every day as a human race. We can actually just talk to people, connect with them, and hold people accountable. But most importantly, look at the way we're acting. How are you acting? How are you treating women? What is your intention and your agenda behind everything you do? If we start working from a heart-based scenario where we focus on our intention, we're not going to have this. We're not going to have people who are needing to go out and buy $5,000 handbags and walking with a label outwards because it makes us feel good. We're so emotionally lost. We're so unloved. We have such little self-love for each other and for ourselves that we're projecting it outwards, and everything is based on an external reality. It's based on muscles, breasts, looks, cars, handbags, physical and emotional things. This is where we're at, and this needs to turn around.
Yeah, the gutted psyche will always, you know, try to gain gratification from external sources. I mean, that's what it, I mean, and it starts a lot of times with religion. I mean, well, you know, you pray to God, and you know, God either lets you into heaven or out of it. There's always some story, some cultural story where someone else is in control. Someone's going to grant you your dreams. Play the lotto. It'll never be. Yeah, you can learn this kind of learned helplessness. You know, she's going to think I'm cool if I have a Mercedes. That'll fill me up. It's like, fill me up, world, I'm empty inside. And we're going to have to start getting away from that, because of course it's an absolute disaster. And that's right, Neil, why people are injecting their lips, because they're trying to get attention and fill themselves up from the energy of other people, because they're like the empty hole in their chest where their heart used to be. They're trying to fill it up with energy from other people. And of course that sort of pursuit always ends in more depression, more helplessness, and more disaster. People should be really aware of that if they go down that materialistic road, that only disaster awaits them. Nothing but the misery will come from that path. I've been there.
Thank you so much, Jason. That was really inspiring. And guys, we've only got two minutes left. Where can we connect with you, Jason? And also, where can we connect with you, Shane? We've got a minute and 30. We'll just, I think, finish it up. And we'll hit it up again if you guys are keen, because we have so much content we should get out. I think we should do another two parts and, like, hit a few things. So, yeah, where can people connect with you, Jace?
Just on Facebook. I have a website, jchristoff.com. I put most of my famous rantings there. And then I'll post maybe six original posts a day on Facebook, most about self-sabotage, addiction. And if anybody wants to see me, they can see me there.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for coming on today and getting people to cross-pollinate. So guys, make sure you jump on and hook up with Jace, and then we can cross-pollinate. Shane, where's the best place for people to contact you and get in contact with you?
Well, I'm also on Facebook as Shane Benatar, S-H-A-Y-N-E-B-E-N-A-T-T-A-R, and I'm sure you'll post that. And also on Instagram as @connecting_consciousness. And you can better to email me through that than to actually direct message me, just because I'm kind of like, I definitely have many of to get back to. I can't keep up really with the direct messages, but connect with me on Facebook or something. I should be able to get back to you for sure, or email.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for the beautiful meeting and the beautiful words. And make sure you share and like and repost the podcast, Nate Max TV, or go to YouTube, Nate Max TV also. Because, yeah, obviously podcast doesn't have censorship and we're trying to get away from that. So thank you very much, and we'll speak to you guys shortly.
Awesome. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks a lot.